The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
And a good Thursday evening to everybody, and welcome to a live version of Bears All Access with a live studio audience here, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallisaw. Sitting in, pinch hitting, whatever you want to call it, for the redhead, Zach Zaidman. I'm Jeff Joniak, and I brought along my radio partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, the broadcast analyst on Bears Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, Mr. Tom Thayer, everybody. How you doing?
Good.
It takes two of us to replace one redhead.
No, we're just here to, you know, happy to be invade a little bit of Patrick and Isaiah's space.
But Patrick Manley is the co-host of this year's program, and we're thankful that you allowed us to grace us.
I guess you guys are the next man up, the next men up philosophy, right? Since Zach's not
kind
here.
Kind of the theme for the season, right? And you brought along defensive back Isaiah Fry, everybody. Good to see him.
Good to see you guys, too.
How are you feeling? You still got that cast, huh?
Yeah.
When are you getting rid of that thing?
Hopefully next week. It's frustrating.
Yeah, that happened a couple of weeks back. A little broken bone, but on the hand and wrist, small bone means big problems sometimes. So.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just kind of a nagging injury, but I'll get through it.
But it upgrades your concentration in the game, though, because you know you have a limitation with your right hand, so... It does make sure you're fundamentally more prepared.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it helps me improve on some technique things that, you know, might end up helping me when I get fully healthy.
So a wild day here at the Peyton Center at Hallisaw, where the practice was indoors, thankfully, given the below zero wind chill. You guys are very thankful. There's a great indoor facility here, right?
I'm liking Mark Trestman's philosophy of being indoors.
Right. Because
Years past, we were outside no matter what, and this is this is a nice treat being inside. But was it -7 wind chill again today?
Yeah.
I think we got enough cold on Monday night.
It was, and we'll get into that too. But the funny thing is, going over to practice to get the announcement on who was going to quarterback the Bears on Sunday against the Browns, they were lined up.
It was a media
Five,
barrage.
Five, six deep. We had National in here. We had ESPN, NFL Network. They brought their reporters, and they just, every player, all the other players and coaches just walked by. Unencumbered, so no microphones or notepads in your faces today with the news. But so how did number six look? That's what everybody wants to know.
He looks good. You know, he practiced a little bit last week, and I think that was a big test. Anytime you have a high ankle sprain, that's kind of a tricky injury, and you don't want to speed that back because I think you can do more damage if you do. And I think last week he had a little bit of a test in practice, throwing some balls for some receivers and doing a little bit of individual stuff. And he looked good today. He looked real good. He looked the same old Jay with the strong arm he has, making good decisions. So we're excited to have him back.
Are you comfortable with the decision? I mean, you're the elder statesman here. And, you know, there's a lot of people, the national, local, any media is going to talk to anybody in the locker room. It's you. You've seen every quarterback scenario possibly in the NFL that could happen to anybody. Given the fact that the scenario where Jay is the veteran starter and you don't lose your job to an injury, what do you think?
I agree with that. You shouldn't lose your job to an injury. And Jay was playing well before he got injured.
Right.
And he's our starting quarterback. He's the most talented quarterback on our roster. That's nothing against Josh. Josh has played great. But in my opinion, Jay's the most talented quarterback, and I want to see him play. And I think he can take us, you know, we've got an three games coming up are huge, and I think he can lead us to what we need to do to get ready for possibly playing in January.
And that would require, you know, you guys do not control your own destiny. You got to win your three because the Lions would have to lose another. And, you know, I fully expect them to lose another game, right?
We hope.
Maybe
I'm
soon,
glad
right?
you play Cleveland before Detroit plays their next game because you don't have that to look to or look forward to or, you know, go back and look on about the Detroit's performance.
I think that weighs on you a little bit. You know, we saw that Detroit lost and we played the game Monday night and that gave us a little bit of a – you know,
right.
push forward. I think, Tom, the same, you know, you played it. It's the same thing. Any little edge you can get going, it helps. I mean, you don't need it, but it's nice to see it.
Right.
Isaiah, with that in mind, because the decision is based upon the fact if you're an injured starter, you don't lose your job due to injury, it's kind of a blanket statement. Yeah, it's a high-profile quarterback position, but that is that important to you guys in the locker room to know that that that's out there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, because we go out there and we work hard every day, and you know, there's a possibility that we might get injured during a game or something like that. So, you know, it's good to know that you know you're still able to come out and you know compete for your position if somebody is coming in and playing well, like Josh was for us personally, because you know defensive backs, there's a lot of us that can play and go out there, but quarterback's a different position. You know, Jay's our leader, and that's who the guy we have to stand behind.
We're here tonight at 6:05 before a live audience from the Fueled Up to Play 60 school program. And our special guest tonight is Bears defensive back Isaiah Fry. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer sitting in for Zach, along with co-host Patrick Manley. I saw a tweet, speaking of the cold, that you put out about Monday night, Isaiah. Always thought that the 2010 Boise game would be the coldest game I'd play in. I couldn't have been any more wrong. -3 is no joke. Fill us in. What were you feeling out there?
It just felt like the air was just cutting through my skin as the game went on. I actually have a scab on my head right here from the cold. I hit somebody. I didn't even hit him that hard, and cracked my face open. And that's how cold it was. It's unreal. It's nothing I've ever experienced. And, you know, it's something I got to get used to, but I think it's to our advantage because we get to, you know, experience on days like today. Luckily, we were inside, but, you know, like a day to day, we'd be outside practicing.
Yeah, last week was good that we got the 2 days out before we played, because there's a lot of John Bostic, who has a locker next to me, was nervous about the cold. He kept asking me, what do I wear? What's it like? What's it going to be like? I'm like, well, there's heaters on the sideline. The benches are heated. But, Isaiah, I saw you guys during the game. When there was a timeout, the worst part of the game is a timeout because you're just standing out there. But all the DBs would run over to the heater during the timeout, put their jacket on for 30 seconds, and then run back out the game. I mean, that helps a ton, and it's things I think playing in Chicago, it's little things like that that we know what to do where the other team doesn't know how to do it. How much did that help you?
Oh, it helped a lot. You know, it kept us warm. And, you know, we were able to get back on the field, and you know, kind of it lingers on after you get hot enough. So, you know, that's good for about 6-7 plays.
But they were sprinting. It was funny. Yeah. So you not only get by the heater and get warm, they were sprinting back to the field, so they're getting loose, their muscles loose.
That 3-minute timeout is the worst thing about playing in the extreme cold, because you're going to sweat whether you're playing in extreme hot or extreme cold, and then you get a little heated up on the benches, run out there for that 3 minutes, and really the skin around and in the sweaty jersey freezes. And that's the worst part about it.
I got a question for you, Tom. When did it start? It had to start before you guys, the sleeveless. You know, the old lineman not wearing sleeves. Because I know when I got here, Big Cat wouldn't let us wear sleeves. And then
it was kind of Mike Webster and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because when they started tapering offensive line jerseys in the 70s, and then that's when Mike Webster took it to the extreme, where he tapered his jersey, he would shoelace it on the inside, cinch it tight, spray it down, and then you would never wear sleeves.
And spray it down with silicone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of different measures you took to keep from. But as soon as, if you did wear long sleeves, as soon as you started sweating, they became baggy, and a defensive lineman could grab them with tacky gloves or without them. So, you know, it just became, I think everybody started just following the direction of the Steelers when they tapered their jerseys.
Funny thing is, I was talking with Jordan Mills, who also you're flanked in that corner of the locker room by the rookie right tackle. And boy, he played a really, really good game on Monday night as well, the whole offensive line. But he had a big grin. I was asking him about it. You know, had you ever played in snow or anything like this? And the answer was absolutely not. He had no idea. All he knew was he was not going to wear sleeves, and he was told he can't wear sleeves. And I think that was a mental hurdle for him.
Yes.
No question.
Well, my story was, you know, I used to sit in the O-line room for years and practice O-line my first 4 years. And I went to Big Cat Williams, who was our O-line leader at the year, and I'm like, I got to wear sleeves. I have to snap a ball. He's like, no, you can't wear sleeves. So I think the first game, it was like 30, and I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, so that was cold to me. And then I begged him, I think, the next year, I got to wear sleeves. And I think he finally let me after begging him and begging him and begging him, but he felt like I was misrepresenting the O-line room by wearing sleeves. And I had to do it. I had to perform, and it's just something. When it's that cold and you've got to put your hands on the ball, I think that makes a difference. You have to do something like that.
Yeah, I said this in the pregame show, I think, on our broadcast, Tom, that in the Dallas papers they were talking about the cold, and it was building up all week. That was the number one topic, or if Tony Romo could lead the Cowboys to a December victory. Didn't happen again. They quoted Lou Rawls, the famous singer who grew up in Chicago, and he had a quote about. And the reason I bring it up, Isaiah, is because of how you described the cut on your forehead, because
he described the wind blowing through town like razor blades through your skin. And that's precisely the way you described it.
Yeah.
We went on the field before the game. You typically stay down there a long time. You did not. But I went down there with no hat, no gloves, just my overcoat. And I'll tell you what, it was bitter, and a stupid decision down on the field.
Isaiah, did you ever hear from any of the Dallas players offensively? Did even in mentioning walking back to the huddle, did anybody say anything?
I can remember at the end of the game when it was kind of out of reach, one of the receivers saying that they were trying to hurry up and get out of there, man, because there's really no reason for them to run those plays.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Well, so it's all true then. Whatever we heard, you know, they were beaten before kickoff, apparently. So that's the case. 6:10 here on 670 The Score. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall before a live audience from the Fuel Up to Play 60 school program. Our guest tonight, Isaiah Frye with Patrick Manley. Zach Zabeman doing DePaul basketball tonight. Our engineer is Paul Zerang, and our producer is Greg Miller, director of broadcasting for the Chicago Bears. So you guys didn't get to see, I assume, the Ditka presentation at halftime, because although there was an extra minute for halftime for you guys to warm up, it was great. Tom, you would agree that the whole presentation was extremely well done.
Yeah, it was, and deservingly so, because Ditka is so admired from the older guys that he played with, the medium-old guys that he coached, and even the young guys that have got to grow up around Coach Ditka from ESPN and his movies. And you have to understand the passion Coach Ditka has for the Chicago Bears, for being a football player, for being an NFL player. If you could sit in meetings, you can understand his passion, it would blow you away. There was a word that he had inscribed on the side of the Super Bowl ring, and it was ace, and it was attitude, character, and enthusiasm. And that's how a lot of times he would determine a person's desire to be a football player and their desire to work. And it was great being coached by him. It was so intimidating that it was nervous every day coming and leaving work.
When he showed up at practice a while back, what did he tell you guys?
He talked about the locker room, you know, things that we'll miss when we leave the game. The locker room will be the big thing, your teammates, the relationship you make with your teammates. Obviously, Sundays are a blast. They're fun. That's a memory you'll never forget. But the biggest thing you won't forget is the teammates and friendships and relationships you make in the locker room. And just to hear him, it's awesome that Coach Trestman now, he's starting to bring back some of the veterans, the alumni. And it's to bring him back and let him speak to us was great. I mean, he's such a Chicago icon. You know, the other thing is that when I got here, you hear about Coach Ditka. But then you watch his film when he played.
Oh, yeah.
He was unbelievable. I mean, he started the tight end position, and just to watch him play, like you talked about, the enthusiasm. I mean, he played with enthusiasm. I mean, he would crush people. I mean, he was unbelievable.
If you ever achieved his approval, it was a milestone because if he thought that you were good enough for something, then it did mean a lot to you because of, you know, his old highlights.
His ability to catch the ball, one thing, but when he was rooting out people and going after him, you know, going after linebackers, I'm talking about Isaiah. Go on YouTube.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
All right, young man. It's worth it because it was fundamentally perfect, but he did it with the attitude that you would expect from a guy named Iron Mike Ditka.
I bet you Isaiah saw that soccer movie before he ever saw a highlight of Ditka in a football uniform.
I did see that movie recently, though. Yeah, I did. And,
but the thing about it, too, you guys had Gale Sayers out here at practice the other day. We had Dan Hampton here last night for a show. So the tradition just coming all back here in this organization.
Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Live from Chicago Bears Network Studio here at Hallis Hall with our audience from the Fuel Up to Play 60 program. School Up to Play 60 program. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for coming. Patrick Manley, Isaiah Frye here with Tom Thayer. Jeff Joniak will be back in a minute. And Zach Zabeman on assignment, so we don't need him anyways.
No, we don't need him.
Well, we've been talking.
This is an upgrade. Let's bust on Zach. This is an upgrade. Let's tell him that when he gets back.
I'm not the upgrade. You know, Zach is a pro. He's, you know, that guy. He's a fun loving. Sat on the sidelines the other day during the game, and I was looking down from the booth, and it was like 400 below zero. In Zach trying to hold some semblance of being.
Did he complain at all?
He complained before the game, and I didn't get to see him till late after the game.
But I asked him before the game. I think he said he had like 15 layers on. He looked like the kid from Christmas Story.
Right. But then he tops it off with a CPO coat. Like this cloth coat is right. Going to be warm in that wind.
He's just
trying
to look good if he happens to be on TV.
Jeff, that was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done in my life.
bringing us back.
Yeah, he nailed it.
How well did he do it, folks? The guy, hey, listen.
No.
Listen to me. It's 17 years behind a microphone. Don't you think by now he'd be able to bring us back from a commercial break, Isaiah? Come on.
How many times did you see Ed McMahon coming back from a break for Johnny Carson? Never.
Whatever. You did a nice job.
And that
job.
Was live, too.
You did
that
a nice job. You're just fine. You're just fine. Let's talk about the Browns a little bit. How about it? You know, this is a 4-9 football team, but Tom was well behind the idea that don't mess around with the Cleveland Browns. He was watching some tape long before kickoff against Dallas on Monday night and came away impressed with defense.
Right. I think they're a good football team. I think some of the problems in the record is because of their quarterback problems they've had all season, and then they traded the number 3 pick in the draft running back that they had, so it really left them with little running game. But defensively, this is a quality football team. They can play one front. They can morph into another front depending upon the down and distance. They're very stingy against the run. They can put pressure when the team tries to throw the ball. Even though Jason Campbell's playing quarterback on offense, he's got a really good wide receiver, a really good tight end, in a running game that's determined to beat up the point of attack. So with all that being said, I think it's a scary opponent.
Willis McGahee missed the last 2 days with concussion issues, so I don't know what his availability is, but they got 66 catches out of the backfield, too, with all these backs. Chris Obanaya, fullback, leading them in receiving at the running back position. But the receiver Tom's referring to, Isaiah, you've no doubt seen him on tape already. Tell us a little bit about this guy. Unreal. 1,400 yards already this season for Josh Gordon, and he missed the first 2 games of the year.
Yeah, he's a big-time receiver, and he's doing a great job this year. I think when you think about the big-time receivers who are young players right now, you think of him and you think of Alshon. Those 2 guys right there, they're doing a great job. And, you know, he's going to be a handful for us, but if we just go out there and do our technique and key on him real good, because you know he gets downfield real fast. I think he's faster than what his 40 time says. So
what have you researched the 40 time?
Yeah, they told us on our scouting report it was a 4.5, but he looks fast.
I have been 4.56. He's got the second most yards after the catch in the NFL.
Exactly.
That's what I want to ask you. Is he getting his yards on a deep ball, or is he breaking tackles, or
he's doing both?
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're getting 1,400 yards already, you're doing everything.
Yeah.
Tommy took a slant last week, 80 yards, right?
Yeah. You know what, I was kind of curious why we have Isaiah here. I just want to ask you a question about Alshon Jeffrey. Why? I mean, you've seen him more in the last couple of years and covering him in practice. Did you see the development coming, and did you know it was going to carry over to games like what you saw in practice?
Yeah, definitely. I seen it last year because, I had to go against him a lot, right. Us being both rookies. And you could see it last year. He was doing some of the same things he's doing now. I think this year, what's helped him a lot is he's able to stay healthy. I think last year, he had a hand problem, kind of like what I have right now, and that kind of slowed him down a little bit. But this year, man, he's a monster, and I don't see anybody, covering him one-on-one. They're going to have to start doubling him soon.
I think for Alshon, though, it started in the offseason. He made the investment to go down with Brandon Marshall and train, and I think he put a lot more in this offseason to get ready for this season, and he's seeing the benefits. So if he keeps doing that, we're going to see a great receiver here with the Bears.
Well, being in the booth the other night and listening to Jeff's call in anticipation if he was going to catch it in the corner of the end zone, it was weird because I was kind of caught up in it too, waiting to see how he was going to finish it. Was it going to be out of bounds, 1 foot up in the ground? But to watch him reach those gloves up and catch the ball under that tiny of a space in that field, that's amazing.
And get his feet down.
Yes.
And the other thing, he makes it look easy. Don't you agree,
Jeff? Yeah, I described it this way, and maybe it's not the best way, but his body's like a rubber band.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
He's not a tight receiver. He's not tight-hipped. He can morph his body into any type of position he needs to make the catch.
He did it the week before in Minnesota.
And evidently, it was the same play. So,
oh, really?
it was a great play, but, his body control is elite.
And then his hands, the way he catches the ball, he didn't bring it to his body. He just held it up there, rolled it around the ground.
Let's talk about that, because that game a few weeks back when they didn't give him the touchdown, which was a judgment call, obviously, by the official and the replay booth, he's not letting that happen anymore, mm-hmm. and he's playing basketball out there. He's getting a rebound, and he's not pulling it down where somebody could whack it out or the ground would cause it to jar loose. So, you've played him, so his hands must be ridiculously strong because he's gripping that ball, and UDBs are no slouches back there trying to punch the ball out. So how strong are his hands?
His hands are extremely strong. You can see him in practice every day. He goes while the defense is doing scout team. He goes to the side with his coach, and they'll do ball drills the whole time. And I think that's just a tribute to his hard work, and he does that all the time. And I think it's really helping him on the field.
As great as that catch was, the touchdown catch, the one that he plucked over the DB, how frustrating would that be if that was you either in practice or in a game?
It'd be frustrating. Right. You see how frustrated he was after that play, and it made me pretty upset.
Hey, coming up next, I got a simple question. Are you a Bears Authority trivia expert? Big game coming up here on our next segment between Pat and Isaiah. They're ready to go. Pat, you don't look enthused.
I get
a weekly staple.
I'm in the zone.
It's a weekly staple of this year's program.
I get in the zone. It's game time.
This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halisaw on 670 The Score. And welcome back at 627 to 670 The Score. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer in for Zach Sabin here on Bears All Access with Patrick Manley and our special guest today, Isaiah Fry. We're here before a live audience from the Fueled Up to Play 60 school program. Before we get into our big contest here, don't you love, you of all people who pride yourself on throughout your whole career, working in the weight room, staying in shape, that the NFL continually and has taken the lead in trying to get kids off their couch.
Yes.
And working out and doing other things. Not that video games are bad, but, you know, there's
to
do.
If they do have those interactive video games where they're on their feet moving around, standing side to side, that I think that's good. But, you know, just being active in some way, shape, or form, it's just too important. And you have to do it. And it's not everything about football. There's too many easy, fun sports out there to play that are really, you know, enjoyable time. So,
all right, time to play here. Are you a Bears Authority? It's brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. I'll ask a question, and if they know the answer, they're going to hit their buzzer. Whoever hits it first answers. If you don't get it right, the other guy can jump right in. So this is a true game show right here, fellas. A best of seven. Whoever triumphs wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Patrick, you're going to be playing for Chester Straws from Chicago. So say hello to Chester. Hope he's listening out there.
All right,
there.
Chester, here we go.
Isaiah, you got Jake Davey from Northbrook. Give him a shout out.
All right, Jake, we're going
to
do this.
And if listeners want to sign up, you can go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. You ready? Question number one, multiple choice. How many head coaches have the Bears had in their history? 14, 15, 16, or 17? Pat's going to answer.
I'm just going to take a shot. I'm going to say 14.
You are correct. Yes. Nicely done by Patrick Manley. Nice job. What did you think it was?
I knew it was 14 because I remember looking up once the Cardinals. They have like 37 head coaches in the same time the Bears have 14.
Nobody's more than the Washington Redskins. That's for sure. Right? You
right.
would think.
In the last 14 years.
Which one of the following teams did Bears head coach Mark Trestman not work for?
All right.
University of Miami, Cleveland Browns, Oakland Raiders, New York Giants, North Carolina State, or Detroit Lions?
Whoa, can you slow that down again?
I try to do it fast to try to make it harder. Come on now, you got two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak, young man. No, I'm kidding. University of Miami,
Dad.
Cleveland Browns, Oakland Raiders, New York Giants, North Carolina State, or Detroit Lions. You want me to do it again?
No, I think I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns.
Negative. Got an answer?
I'm going to go with North Carolina State.
No, sir, North Carolina State. He was at North Carolina State. You want to know who he recruited to North Carolina State? Do you know who he recruited to North Carolina State? Russell Wilson.
Really?
Russell Wilson played 2 years there and then transferred to Wisconsin.
I didn't know that.
The man knows quarterbacks.
Yeah, obviously.
The man knows quarterbacks.
So tell him where he didn't coach.
Yeah, exactly. What's the answer?
It's the New York Giants. Sorry. New York Giants. He was the Browns.
Did anybody know that?
He was the Browns offensive coordinator, Bernie Kosar, obviously.
Oh,
and,
really?
Coached.
Okay.
They made it to the NFC, the AFC title game the year after Bernie got hurt. He had Mike Pagel, Gary Daniels, all these 35 older quarterbacks. So he's used to working with 30-plus-year-old quarterbacks. All right, question number three. What college did Bears defensive backs coach John Hoke play at? Come on, Isaiah.
Oh, no, that's your coach.
Wait till Hoke hears about this.
I know this one,
I don't
too.
Even know. There's no multiple choices this one.
I'm going to go with it. Is it Ball State?
Yes! Patrick Manley, you were sandbagging him. You were giving him an opportunity. Pat, how about it? Give Pat a hand because that's a good teammate.
That's a good team. I know Hulk's hard on him. I didn't want to get him
that
on that.
That is a good teammate.
On that too.
He's a Ball State Cardinal.
Yeah. Sure.
So tomorrow morning, hey, Coach, you know, I was looking back at some old film of you at Ball State because you're going to have to do something to – to renew
to
good graces,
a bit.
Yeah.
Was that Dave Letterman that knocked you out?
Yeah. Brad Maynard, son of the Ball State Cardinal.
Right. David Haw.
Well,
Ball State. Question number four. Both Isaiah Fry and Patrick Manley were selected in round six of the NFL draft by the Bears. Who was drafted earlier in the round, Pat or Isaiah?
Isaiah.
Isaiah's the answer. Yes. 184. You were the 184th pick. Pat was 189.
I actually studied that one. I looked him up on Wikipedia and found that out today, so I cheated.
Oh, speaking of which, I took a look at Wikipedia for some nugget I was looking up on Patrick, too, and it says that in your final college game, you played against Mel Tucker.
I did. It was Mel's final game.
How could that be? Because Wikipedia says he was a Michigan State coaching assistant the year you graduated.
No, it was Mel's final year, 1994. We played in the Hall of Fame game that's now the Outback Bowl.
Oh.
He was playing for Wisconsin. I played for Duke, and we actually went to a bowl back then. And so I played against him his last game. So Wikipedia is not 100% right, but it's pretty close.
That's a good nugget. Yeah. Who knew?
Mike Groh. I played against Mike Groh as well, our receivers coach.
Really?
Yeah, I'm old.
Where'd he go?
He went to Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, he put a beating on
Isaiah,
us.
Isaiah, there's a new game next week that you're going to know your coaching staff. All right, here is number five. Who is the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster drafted by the Bears in round five of the NFL draft?
Jordan Mills.
That's very good. Nice job. Nice job.
Way to know
I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known
you're
that.
You're back in good graces with the offense now.
All right, a question number six. How many Pro Bowls has Bears quarterback Jay Cutler played in?
One.
That is correct.
Man,
so, Pat, you got is that the win? Is that
it's
it?
Win.
There's no.
Winner,
we can't
winner.
Even go number seven. We got to go just for kicks.
No, let's ask Tom.
Ask me what?
Tom?
You got the final question.
Tom, he's always looking on my papers. I'll go and do shows, and he sees my script, and he's reading it out loud trying to make me look bad. All right, what team did Zach Bowman signed with in 2012 before being signed back by the Bears in that same year?
Really?
I'm asking the question.
The Vikings of Minnesota?
All right, very good. Everybody give Tom a big round of applause. Thanks, everybody, for playing Are You a Bears Authority, brought to you by Sports Authority. There was a tiebreaker. I'm going to throw that in there, too. Robbie Gould holds the Bears record for field goals made in a season in 2006. How many did he make, Pat?
Oh, shoot. It was, I know it.
It's between 25 and 35.
Yeah, it's 34.
Negative. Yeah. Give him the big beep. It was 32. It was 32.
Got him to a Pro Bowl.
You know, you only had seven snaps on Monday night.
It was a great night.
Seven.
Especially when it was -7 degrees. I got to sit on the bench the whole game.
And 1 2-pointer, so 8 possessions, 8 scoring drives, which is unbelievable. Great job by the O, but 7 snaps. That had to be the fewest non-injury performance
so
of
with,
your career.
With no punts, you actually never ran in the game.
I jogged onto the field.
Right.
Just to get my exercise. That's the first time in my career. I wouldn't mind doing that again if we can win the game.
That's pretty funny. Coming up next, we'll talk about some of the injured Bears. They were in the locker room this week. An ever-present reminder just how fragile this game is. Saw some of the fellas this week. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from Chicago Bears Network Studios in Atlas Hall on 670 The Score. And welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live here in the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Here at Atlas Hall, you could hear our live audience from the Fuel Up to Play 60 school program. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer in for Zach Sabin, Patrick Manley, the co-host. He allowed us to show up tonight and pinch hit a little bit. So hopefully we're serving you well tonight, Big Pat.
This is enjoyable. It's refreshing.
It's a short week.
We need the stress.
Right.
And Isaiah Fry, kind enough to give up some of his Thursday night with us as well. We were, Tom in the break asked me, you know, hey, let's talk about RG3 a little bit because I saw a picture. You worked with the Michael Johnson Performance group when you trained for the scouting combine, if I'm not mistaken. So they had like a team photo of guys, and I think there were 12 guys in the photo
and you were in it, and RG3 was. You were working with him, or do you remember that? Because these are the guys they claim on this Michael Johnson performance to get ready for the scouting combine that you are a part of. Is this news to you?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Really? You didn't work with him?
Nah, he was there with us.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
they must have photoshopped him in there.
I thought it would be a good entree to talk about.
Yeah, I remember them talking about he was supposed to come.
Okay.
Train, but he,
how about Edwin Baker and Michigan State and Jerron Kreiner, those guys? Are those guys legit?
They were there with me.
What did you guys do? What were you doing training for the combine? Specifically, I'm thinking speed. If you're talking Michael Johnson, you're talking about increasing your speed.
Yeah, definitely. They for the most part, they got our starts a lot better. I remember when they first got us there, they timed our 10-yard dash. And by the time I ended up leaving there, they had improved it by, I want to say, 0.3 of a second. And, you know, that can make a whole difference in your 40-yard dash. So it went from like a one. I remember I ran like a 1.710 when I first got there, and then it went down to like a 1.4. So that really helped me.
You know,
with that.
You think I'm nuts, but I keep those numbers on my boards for games, and when I ever see those 10 yards, because it's a sign of explosion and how quick you're getting off. But when you see guys in the 1.3, upper 1.3s or 1.4s, you know they're getting off, you know, pretty quick, and it helps you on the football field, no question. Charles is one of the best ones I had seen, you know, from his combine days. And believe it or not, Josh McCown, if you go back and look at his scouting combine numbers, it'll blow your mind. You would not guess it, but he was unbelievable.
He's a sick athlete.
Tell us about it.
Well, I guess he's an unbelievable basketball player. He'll go around and, you know, play a little pickup ball with guys on the team, nothing serious, but guys talk about how good of an athlete he is at that, and then just little things like ping pong. I'm sure he's good at darts. I'm sure he's good at pool. I'm sure he's just that kind of guy. But he's just, you watch him in practice, the way he moves, what, he's 34 years old. You saw the touchdown run he had. You called it, obviously. That was impressive.
But even at practice, he's not a guy that relaxes. He's always antsy. He's got a football in his hands, and if Jay's running around, Josh is behind throwing to the second guy, the under guy, a defensive back or something. And he's a great contributor to a football team in such a positive direction in a lot of different ways, whether it's schooling a young guy, working with the head coach, working with the quarterback coach, the starting quarterback. All those things that Josh brings is a real positive.
The beginning of the year as a backup, he did all that stuff, and it prepared him to be a starter, and he obviously played well doing that. But I think all the other guys, Isaiah can probably attest to this, being a young guy watching a backup work like that, it makes you want to work harder. It makes everybody else in the locker room work harder. Because if the backup's doing it working that hard, you better pick your stuff up.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because sometimes, Isaiah, that just sounds good. It's just lip service. It's a cliche in some ways, but it doesn't appear to be the case here.
No.
With you guys.
No, Josh, man, he's probably, if not the hardest, one of the hardest workers in the building. He comes to work every day, and, he gives it his all. I'll say this, and Pat probably said the same thing. He's probably the best speaker we have on the team, man. He's like, we have chapel every week, and he'll talk, man, and just the stuff that comes out of his mouth, man, is just pure intelligence. It's crazy just to listen to him talk, and he's a great guy to have around.
Well, he's got perspective too. His double-digit career, much like Pat and much like Tom when he played. You guys got perspective, and it's good to hear those guys talk about life and the lessons, what you learn on and off the football field.
Yeah.
I can imagine if he beats you in ping pong, he probably goes up to you and, oh, shucks, I'm sorry I beat you, right? Because he's got that kind of humility.
No, he and Jay go at it. Those two are always on the ping pong table at any spare moment they have, and those two, they'll smack talk.
Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network of shows. And enjoy a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season, brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. I'm certain that Isaiah Fry and that defense, and heck, maybe even a special teams takeaway, is going to happen on Sunday in Cleveland against the Browns. You know, it's been 8 weeks since game four, you guys have not forced a fumble. Not even forced one, let alone recover one. Don't you think you're due?
We are due. You know, losing Peanut kind of hurts.
But
we're definitely due. That's kind of what we pride ourselves on. And, we're going to need to start getting those these last couple of weeks because it's coming down to crunch time. So it's going to have to happen.
All right, coming up here on 6:44, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall on 670 The Score. Coming up next, we'll talk more with Patrick Manley and Isaiah Fry. Stick around.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall with our audience from the Fuel Up to Play 60 school program. Great program. Keep up the activities. Some teachers here, what, K through fifth grade, is that what they're doing? Good for you guys. Awesome. I got a nephew who's a teacher and a coach and other in the family, so it's awesome what you guys are doing. Here with Patrick Manley and Isaiah Fry, Chicago Bears All Access, live studio audience here at Hallis Hall. Great opportunity to expose the people to the new Hallis Hall, and being an has-been, very jealous of the new confines you guys have as the modern-day players. And, you know, it just give me a two-second reflection on the new facility.
It's everything's bigger, nicer, grander. The food's way better. It's really important to us.
Nice coming to work, isn't it?
It is. It is coming to work. Actually, it's hard to keep your weight off during the season just because the food is so darn good. I don't know, Isaiah, you were here last year, obviously, and just the upgrade in the cafeteria is amazing.
Yeah, you know, we have some great chefs back there, and they prepare some good meals every day. So it's kind of hard to stay light during the season.
After 30 years with the Bears, do you still have to weigh in, Patrick?
I can't.
Yeah, they should stop.
I can't comment on that because I don't want to.
Isaiah, do you have weigh-ins also?
Yeah, I have to weigh in all the time.
You know, Patrick brought up a good thing. You nickelback for the Chicago Bears defense. You come in, you're part of a scheme. It's like you and you're inserted as much as Evan Britton on offense. But when you're a nickelback, you play a lot. But do you still aspire to be that starting cornerback? Ultimately, is that what all nickelbacks want to do?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a part of, my plan is to hopefully get on the outside at one point. But at the same time, I would like to stay inside. You see a lot of corners nowadays doing both. I think Cortland Finnegan in St. Louis, you see him on the outside and on third downs, he'll slide inside. So because the position, it's an interesting position because you do a lot of different things. You have to be real aware of your surroundings as far as what's going on the inside of you. What your corner's doing. If you're in man in the slot, the receiver has a two-way go. So you kind of have to play to your help and your leverage because it's a little bit more difficult not having the sideline to help.
How different is the technique being outside, inside? Like you were talking about, I think Tom and I are two O-linemen at heart, and we don't know that much about defensive back play. And you talked about the sideline makes it easier, I guess, for a corner outside. So being a nickelback has to be a little more difficult, or is it technique, or is it – What makes the big difference between a quarterback and then a guy that can be a successful nickel?
I wouldn't say it's more difficult. I would say it's equally challenging because, corner, you're out there by yourself. It's an island. But at the same time, nickel, the two-way go makes it difficult. And I would say if you're in man coverage, playing in the slot, playing to your help and your leverage is the best way to go because you get guys like Wes Welker. Those guys, they're real good at filling the routes, and I think that's what makes them successful. And at the same time, to be a successful nickel, you have to be able to fill what they're able to do, ahead of time. And they'll kind of press you to your leverage, and then in an option back out. So getting routes like that is kind of difficult to anticipate at times.
Go ahead.
No, the question I have is, the season started. Calvin Hayden was our supposed starting nickel, and he got injured. But you got the whole preseason to play with the first unit. How much did that help you and give you confidence to start the season, getting an entire preseason?
It helped a lot. When you're out there with guys like Lance and Pina and Pep, it kind of, it makes you up your play because, you don't want to let those guys down because those guys have put in so many years of playing, man. You go out there and some young guy comes out there and doesn't know his assignment and gives up a big play, man. You feel bad about yourself. So, I kind of had to, up my play and make sure I was up to par with them.
Well, you've played 45% of the defensive snaps. Obviously, that's tethered to, three wides or if you guys are going to play nickel and so forth. But have you felt that you have got enough snaps that you have enough experience to take the next step now?
Yeah, definitely. I would say if you would ask me that question the first couple games of the season, I would say no because there wasn't a lot of tray we were getting. But now we've ran a couple games where, Green Bay, Detroit, they run a lot of trays, so I've gotten a lot of snaps from them.
And according to the Stats Inc., you've only had 29 balls thrown on you.
Yeah.
That's not many. So they're staying away from Isaiah Fry.
Yeah.
You're blitzing a lot, too.
Yeah. It's frustrating at times, though, because you want to make some plays on the ball and, get some interceptions.
Jeff always comes with the number nuggets.
Yeah. You know?
Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall on 670 The Score. Coming up next, we're going to talk the Pro Bowl. Interesting nugget, speaking of numbers. That's coming up. All right, sounds like a growling bear. Hope you guys are nasty in Cleveland on Sunday.
We're expecting a little snow.
Saturday, could be a bumpy flight.
Yeah.
That'll make me nuts, right, Tom?
Yes.
You know what I'm like, trying to get through that. Welcome back to our Bears All Access show, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall. Great audience tonight, the Fueled Up to Play 60 school program. Glad you're here tonight. Tom and I sitting in for Zach Sabin. We've enjoyed the company of Patrick Manley and Isaiah Fry, and the Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuff Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Final moments of the program, wanted to bring up of the Pro Bowl because the NFL kind of irritates Tom every now and again. So word today, so Jerry Rice and first of all, and I don't understand it, Patrick Manley, I know it's not important to you because winning a Super Bowl is, but how you haven't been to a Pro Bowl blows my mind. It's got to happen.
The long snappers are picked by the coaches who are coaching the game, so that's what it is.
Tom, pretend he's not here. How good is he?
He knows he's the best. He gets told that all the time. But for him going to the Pro Bowl, give me a 20-year career with no Pro Bowls any day of the week.
Especially now, exactly. In
the way these things are being run.
So here's what's going to happen. Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders divide the skilled players at a beachside draft broadcast live on television for 3 hours on January
22nd. Yeah, I read that. 3 hours?
At an oceanfront estate in Oahu, Tom. They picked the first 11 players each a day earlier among guards, centers, fullbacks, punters, and special teams players. Like, those guys don't matter. They're not going to be the guys they're showcasing. The next day, the other 66 players, the skill position players, and the quarterbacks and all that, that'll be taken the next day. Thoughts?
Garbage.
That's all you're going to give me?
Absolute garbage. It used to be an honor. It used to be a stepping stone in every player's career to be honored by a group of players sitting in a room and judging whether you deserve to be in a Pro Bowl team or not. And when we used to look up to the guys that were making it before us or even at our position that made an extended period of time, it was something that you were really, you prided yourself in. You know, I played next to Jay Hilgenberg and he made 7 consecutive Pro Bowls. And you kind of attach yourself to that. Or you look at Hamp and you look at, Richard and all these guys that made Pro Bowls. It meant something. Nowadays, sorry.
The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday night, 6:30 on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Remaining moments, just some quick answers here. What was it like being Colin Kaepernick's teammate?
It was great. He's a hard worker, and I can say that, you know, all the success that he's having now in the league right now is well-deserved. He would come in, you know, to work every day, 5:30 in the morning, get a little workout in, watch film, and you know, that was kind of his daily routine, and seeing what he's doing now is not surprising to me at all.
Has anybody ever mistake you for Colin Kaepernick at college?
Unfortunately, I get that all the time. I don't like it at all.
And Tom, did you know, speaking of trivia, that his brother Bernard went to Notre Dame?
Patrick Manley, you're talking about?
Yes.
Or we can call him Bernard.
Bernard, is that
Bernard,
his name?
Yeah.
Bernard?
The Irish thing.
Okay.
Bernard, yeah. It looks like
and,
Bernard.
And this, finally, this I read this from long snapper J.J. Jansen, an ex-Domer as well, from Carolina. Are you friends with the 27-year-old long snapper from Carolina?
I think we're all friends once we all shake hands.
I read this, and he said, quote, somebody asked him, he was doing some sort of a blog of some sort. He says, don't you know long snappers get all the ladies? That was his big...
I might have to talk to him next time we play. We don't talk like that.
That's going to wrap us up. Thank you so much for being here. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Thank you to the Fuel Up to Play 60 School program. Thanks to Paul Zaranger, engineer.
Thanks to Greg Miller, our producer, Tom Thayer, Patrick Manley, and Isaiah Fry. Bears and Browns, 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff on Newsio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Jeff Joniak. Have a great night, Chicago.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.